And we got to bring in Craig Bolanos right away, investor with WMG Wealth Management Group. Craig, how you doing, my friend?
I am fantastic. I saw you tease what you wanted to talk about. What a segment. 34 years, John. 34 years of stagnation in Japan, and they're on the cusp of finally being back.
Yeah, it's huge. I want to dive into that a little deeper, but in this first segment, Craig, let's start here locally. I mean, 2 days ago, people were starting to get a little jittery. It was a pretty big drop after an inflation number that came in slightly hotter. You know, not to say that people were wrong, no way. I mean, the market goes up, temper your expectations. The market goes down, temper your sadness. It's already back, baby.
No, it is. And, you know, at the end of the day, when I think about that CPI print that we had that came in on the hot side, I don't think at the end it's really changed the conversation on disinflation, you know, inflation coming down. Instead, I think that CPI print just exposed the fact that the S&P 500 is priced for absolute perfection. So anything that's not perfection is going to cause a knee-jerk reaction and a gap down in stocks like we saw.
So we're at a point where maybe good news is good news, bad news is bad news?
To a certain degree, I think that's exactly right. Because again, the entire stock market is going to be based, this entire rally. Remember, it all started based on the Fed pivoting, the idea that we would have rate cuts. And the only way we get rate cuts is if the inflation continues to come down. So I think this is going to matter. But remember, there's core inflation. There's headline inflation. There's different measures of this. And at the end of the day, the trend in inflation is still deflationary, and that's good news for investors.
Yeah, and I guess maybe I've jumped the gun a little bit too much on good news is good news, because a hot jobs number could throw cold water on it still, that the Fed will lower interest rates. So I think we're still in a little weird territory. I guess what I'm ultimately saying, Craig, is the market is looking for things to be where expected or near that. And anywhere on the far plus or the far minus could scare or rattle the markets a little bit one way or the other.
No, I agree with that. And, you know, and even think about not the inflation data, think of the jobs data that came out before that. We had such a hot print, meaning massive job creation, but the print was so large, it kind of wasn't believable, right? So anytime you have some outlying data, it's going to be discounted. It's, you know, if the data looks believable, like we're going to have a resurgence in jobs, we're going to have a resurgence in inflation, then things are going to be called into question. But I have to say to everybody listening, again, if it doesn't look like a recession where you live and it doesn't feel like a recession where you work, it's probably not a recession. And we have a good setup, a good technical setup for the stock market and people's 401ks in 2024 still.
I love the ability you guys have to kind of stress test some things. I think when the markets, as they have been good for the last few months, we kind of blindly think, hey, I can do this. I can control my finances. It's the other side of things that sometimes exposes people's weaknesses as they plan for their retirement. Craig and his team do a great job. 833-WMG-PLAN. Invest with WMG.com. We trust the voice of Craig Bolanos from WMG Wealth Management Group, 833-WMG-PLAN. And all right, Craig, I'm ready to do a deep dive on Japan's economy, somewhere I didn't think I'd be going at the start of the day. But I saw that the Nikkei, which is their essentially their stock market, went to new highs. And I was like, oh, I wonder when the last time their high was. And it was in 1990. Craig, what has happened in the past 34 years in Japan?
Well, I got to tell you, when you say 1990 to me, John, it doesn't sound that long ago. And then I start counting on my fingers and toes.
Don't do that.
34 years. Can you imagine your 401k not growing for 34 years? That would end your retirement. So what happened? Simple. Excess equipment, excess employment, excess debt. What does that mean? Three excesses, if that's even a word in proper English language. It was a bubble. They had a bubble. I mean, you had real estate in one town in Japan that was worth more than the entire real estate in the state of Florida at one point in time. Whoa. That is just ridiculous. And when bubbles pop, combined with bad policy and combined with poor demographics, an aging workforce, You know what? It's a recipe for disaster. And this is a good history lesson because history should not be a mystery, because those who do not learn from history are doomed to what? Repeat it.
Absolutely. And you brought up some great points there. I'm glad you mentioned the demographics, because I knew they had such an aging population, because there's certain ways out of those bubbles that burst, Craig, and it's a strong consumer, I imagine, and a lot of workers to be able to make a lot of things. And Japan was not set up for that.
No, I mean, birth rates and age-weight demographics matter today. In fact, they have always mattered. And yes, I mean, at one point in time, Japan was going to take over the globe. Remember them buying Rockefeller Center, taking over golf courses. Toyota was going to take over the world. I mean, it is the world's largest automaker. But at the end of the day, you need to have a balance of good government policies, good corporate stewardship. Good corporate stewardship means companies and leaders of businesses driving shareholder value. And sometimes long-running policies like lifetime employment, which they have in Japan, less now than they used to, it kind of gets in the way.
All right, so let's take that lesson to here, because we got a lot of debt here in the United States. We have maybe not a housing market where one town outblows an entire state, but we've seen housing prices skyrocket. What's in our little equation that helps us avoid a similar fate?
Well, I think what helps us is we're not there yet. The most common thing I get all the time, I talk about it at multiple outlets, is people say, are we setting up for a repeat of the dot-com bubble, given AI, artificial intelligence, is all the rage? And my answer to that, in a very sincere voice, is, not yet. We're not yet there. In the 1990s, you had the technology stocks back then trading at 60 times earnings. We're half that. Back then, you had so many technology IPOs coming. We don't have all those tech IPOs today. Number three, the leaders back then of the internet cycle were companies that were born in the last 2 to 3 years. Look at the leaders today in the Magnificent Seven. These are companies that have been around for a longer time. They're more mature. So we are not in the dot-com bubble yet. But remember, the four most dangerous words in investing are saying, this time it's different. As soon as you start rationalizing that, you eventually get in trouble. But no, we're not in trouble yet. Remember, John, new highs make new highs.
Exactly. You know, it's interesting because anytime there's like a 10% drop in the market, whether it's in a day, which is scary, or whether it's spread out over a couple months, it doesn't feel good, right? You look at your 401k, you're not happy. But I often hear people say these are healthy corrections. Sometimes you got to take your medicine to avoid the exact scenario you're painting.
Well, and I think the medicine that people should take, you and I talked about this twice in the fourth quarter of last year, John. I think people need to pay attention to their geography. And what I mean by geography is we need to remember these lessons. There was a lost decade in the United States. 2000 all the way through 2009, where the S&P 500 made no money. We just talked about a 34-year period in Japan where investors made no money. So if someone wants to get retired and stay retired in advance of problems occurring, best they create a multi-asset class, globally diversified portfolio. I don't think anybody wants to have all their money just in the S&P 500 today, because if you're just in the S&P 500 today, you really own the Magnificent Seven, and that is fraught for eventual danger, even though the trend is in your favor near term.
Right. Just one more point about Japan, and this has kind of come up, briefly talked about it yesterday on the program. The CBO, the Congressional Budget Office, nonpartisan, kind of looked at the next 10 years, right? And they had surmised like a $7 trillion increase in revenues or something along those lines. But the point was is that the vast, vast majority of that came because of immigration policies lightening up a little bit in the last few years. And I'm not talking about the crisis at the border. I'm talking about allowing more pathways for legal citizenship into this country. Is that one of our ways, one of our hedges, by allowing more people to come into this country and work legally? Is that a hedge against what happened to Japan?
Yeah, I think the truth is this. We need more workers in this country. The baby boomers are retiring. more people retire in the next 11 years than have retired in the history of America. And we're going to need to find ways to raise revenue. And raising revenue comes by raising taxes. If we end up increasing the number of people who can work, we're spreading that tax bill across many to support the aging population in the U.S., and that will be accretive for the U.S. economy and prevent us from aging too quickly, which is exactly what happened to Japan. So is immigration the answer? Is some other reform where everyone starts wanting to have way more kids the answer? I don't know, but we need to increase the workforce in the United States if we want to keep the economic party going. And who doesn't like being the number one economy in the world? I do. I'd like to maintain the pole position. It's just different opinions on how to get there.
For sure. Greg, what are you telling your clients right now? They're probably feeling pretty good. I know you don't want to rain on anyone's parade. Is it just about right now advising clients, hey, let's take a look at the blind spots. Let's use this opportunity where things are so good to start, I don't know if you like the word hedge, but just protecting classes of assets here and there.
Well, from a financial planning perspective, it's all about recommitting to the retirement plan and the cash flow. From an estate plan perspective, it's about digital asset provisions because everyone has a digital footprint and you need a digital executor. From an investment standpoint, it's all about time, tolerance, and taxes. Everyone needs to be recommitting to proper portfolio rebalancing, doing it in such a way that's tax sensitive, doing it in such a way that lines with their time horizon, but making sure people aren't overexposed to tech because there are great areas of the market that didn't participate in the rally last year, like healthcare and energy, that stand poised to do well. And we're talking with our clients about rebalancing into those areas.
Love it. Craig, I always love when you come on, not only because you spit some wisdom at me, but because I think you're 25 for 26 in appearances on a green day in the market. So we should call you more often. Craig Bolanos, we'll talk soon, okay?
Sounds great, my friend.
Yeah, let him run that retirement stress test for you. Trust me, you want to do that. You want to see how all of that impacts your chances of having the money you need to live the life you want. 833-WMG-PLAN, 833-WMG-PLAN.